You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. Super excited and honored for today's guest. David Garofalo has served as Chief Executive Officer and President and Chairman of the Board of Directors of the Gold Royalty Corporation. David has worked in various leadership capacities in the natural resource sector for over 30 years. He has also served as President and Chief Executive Officer of Gold Corp until its sale to Newmont Corporation in April 2019. Prior to joining Gold Corp, he has served as President and Chief Executive Officer and Director of Hudbay Minerals from 2010 to 2015, where he presided over that company's emergence as a leading metals producer. Previous to this, he has held various senior executive roles with mining companies, including Senior Vice President, Finance, and Chief Financial Officer of Agnico Eagle Limited from 98 to 2010, and Treasurer and various financial roles with Inmet Mining Corporation from 1990 to 1998. He was named Mining Person of the Year by Northern Miner in 2012 and Canada's CFO of the Year by Financial Executives International Canada in 2009. As well as a graduate of the University of Toronto, he is a chartered accountant and certified director of Institute of Corporate Directors. He also serves on the board of directors of the Vancouver Board of Trade and the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. So I'm excited to welcome David to Making Bank.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Josh.
For sure. So kind of intro, little dabbles of your background and everything. But what got you started in all this? And what's interesting too is, like, for myself, we've been trying to acquire gold and silver and different things over the last few years, and the bars and all that good stuff. So excited to learn more from you and what's going on and why we should be investing in this and everything. So kind of give us how you got started with all that.
Well, I'm a financial person by background, as you correctly pointed out. I'm an accountant by training, but I've actually spent the last 30 years at developing and operating mines around the world in four distinct vehicles, all of which were significant players in the space. And I've spent equivalent amounts of time both on the precious and base metal side. What's exciting about this cycle right now is the coordinated rallies that we've seen in both the base and precious side for a variety of reasons, some of them common across the metals, but some of them quite distinct. On the precious side, it's all the quantitative easing we've seen of late, low interest rates is really driving a lot of demand for precious metals. On the base side, it's that quantitative easing that's resulting in a lot of stimulus into the economy, which is driving base metal prices up to unprecedented levels as well.
And so I guess how'd you initially get into all this? I mean, obviously you said you're an accountant by trade, but how do you go from accountant to precious metals expert and gold mines and all that?
Well, really, it's starting at the ground level. I was a very junior accountant coming out of Deloitte's in the late 1980s when I joined Inmet. And Inmet was going through a massive expansion at the time, building a number of new mines across the world. And I was involved in the early stages of feasibility work and also going out to tender for major contracts during construction development. So I really learned the business from the ground up. And over my career with the four companies that I've previously worked with, I've been involved in development of 15 mines across the world. And I've operated countless more. I've been responsible for the safe operation and environmentally responsible operation of multiple mines across the world.
That's awesome. And these different mines, everything, I mean, this is where all the different gold and silver and different precious metals and everything are being mined at and then either formed into bars and that sort of thing?
That's right. So, you know, really it was from the discovery stage, early stage exploration to ultimately construction and then commissioning and steady state operation of each of these mines to produce saleable concentrates, saleable metals. And quite often our precious metals would report into doré bars, which we deliver into refineries, or we'd produce a base metal concentrate that had precious metal byproducts in it. And the gold and silver would be recovered out of the concentrate refining process with our smelting partners across the world.
And I guess, I mean, why can kind of let our audience know, I mean, why should people be buying these precious metals? And I mean, I guess, and where are we from a investment standpoint on the low end, the high end, kind of the middle, you know, for that?
Well, I'll bottom line it for you. Where I think gold is going this year is probably around $3,000 an ounce. Today it's trading somewhere around $1,800, $1,900 an ounce. And really what drives me to that that conclusion is where we've seen previous cyclical highs in gold when we've had hyperinflationary environments like we're experiencing currently. Back in 1981, when we went through the oil embargo and we saw significant double-digit inflation, gold traded to a high of $850 an ounce, but that's 1981 dollars. Sure. You translate that to 2021, that's $3,000 an ounce. So I'm certainly not picking that number out of the air. And I would argue that the inflationary environment we find ourselves in is far greater than what we found in the 70s and 80s, because there's been a coordinated effort by all the global central banks to debase their currencies. In other words, they're printing the fiat currencies with reckless abandon. Mm. They maintain interest rates both on a nominal real basis and negative terms. So we are seeing hyperinflation. I know the headline number most recently was only 5%. Doesn't seem like hyperinflation, but that's not the reality. They exclude a lot of important things that we all consume, like housing. Anybody that's tried to buy a house in the last year knows that inflation's far in excess of 5%.
Sure.
And that's such a fundamental component of our spending. How can we say that inflation's only 5%? We're in a hyperinflationary environment. We're going to see the evidence of that in commodities. We're seeing that in copper at all-time highs right now. We're starting to see oil prices start to recover significantly. And that's going to drive inflation through the supply chain and the consumer chain throughout the world. So we're in an environment with quantitative easing unlikely to be or to be unremitting for a number of years because of all the debt that's been strapped on by the governments globally in the industrialized world. The central banks are effectively inflating their way out of the debt because there's no fiscally responsible way for these governments to repay their debt.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And that's what's interesting. I mean, and is, you know, how do they? Is it, and it, you said through the inflation and the buildup, you know, trying to devalue as much as they can of the dollar or Canadian, you know, different markets and everything.
That's right. And look, we're starting to see evidence of that, obviously, in the general equity markets, where we've seen valuations multiples stretched beyond recognition. We've never seen multiples at these levels in the general equity markets. And so I think you're going to see increasingly investors start to look for ways to preserve their capital in the face of significant volatility in the general equity markets. There is going to be significant corrections in these valuations, because the underlying economic activity simply does not justify it. It's really being driven by the inflation of our currencies, or I should say the debasement of our currencies through inflationary practices being pursued by the central banks. And in that environment, you know, investors will be looking at gold, increasingly looking at silver to preserve their capital, because the opportunity cost of owning those precious metals simply doesn't exist anymore. Gold is a currency. Make no mistake about it, it's not a commodity. And currencies trade relative to each other based on interest rate differentials. You know, gold historically has always yielded zero, admittedly, but sovereign debt today yields negative when you include the effects of inflation. So owning a treasury bill is a way to see your capital destroyed by inflation over time because there's no yield on it. And so that's going to continue to drive capital into gold. We've seen that in the cryptocurrency market. A new class of investors are looking at cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and the like, as a way to preserve their capital. But I'd argue, while I see the merits of having cryptocurrency in your portfolio, it does not provide the scarcity value that gold clearly does. There's a very finite amount of gold on the Earth's surface. It's actually only about 200,000 metric tons. Wow. And to give you a sense of what that is visually, it's about 4 Olympic-sized swimming pools. It's very, very a tiny, minute amount of metal on the Earth's surface. It's very difficult to mine. We only mine 4,000 metric tons in the mining industry per year. So we're only adding about 5% to supply per annum. So it can't be printed like fiat currencies. And there isn't that elasticity of supply to price. So even with higher gold prices, we're not seeing the supply stimulated. And we're actually seeing mine supply go down because the industry is underinvested in exploration and development over the last 6 or 7 years.
Wow. Yeah. And as the different markets of their currencies drop, I always, you know, people are talking about, okay, you know, some people are investing in gold, silver, platinum, different things like that. I mean, how should we be, or what should we be looking for to really make an investment to offset the devalue, of the US dollar, the Canadian, the European markets and things like that?
Well, there's a few ways to play the precious metal space. I mean, one is to actually line up at a bank and buy bullion and store it. And of course, there's a logistics of doing that. You have to incur storage costs. You have to find somewhere safe to store it. The other way is to buy the ETF, which is trading on the New York Stock Exchange, GLD. It's physically backed by gold, held at a bank, accredited bank, and it's audited every year. So you can be secure that you have physical gold backing that paper. And so that's a great avenue to invest in gold. You get the leverage to the gold price. You can buy gold equities, the operating companies. And of course, what that gives you is not only leverage to the gold price, but also leverage to their exploration success and increased profitability. So if the gold price goes up and they find more ounces in the ground, you get that upside. The problem with buying the gold mining equities is you're also exposed to operating and capital cost inflation. So their margins may get squeezed as we're seeing this hyperinflationary environment take hold. Sure. And affecting their operating capital costs. The other way to play the gold equities is to buy gold royalty companies. And I run one called Gold Royalty Corp. And the advantage of that is the way the gold royalty model works is we provide capital to the mine operators and developers to build their mines and expand them. And we take royalties back in return, a fixed percentage of their revenue, typically 1%, 2%, 3%. So we get full leverage to the gold price. And if they find more in the ground through their exploration efforts, the operators, we get the upside as well. We get to enjoy that exploration upside. What we don't get exposed to is operating capital cost risk. So if costs inflate, it doesn't affect our revenue flow because we're taking top line risk only. And so I think if you really think about it, the royalty companies are the best way to play the gold rally because they provide the best of all worlds, full leverage to the gold upside, in terms of price, full leverage to the exploration success without the cost risk.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I've heard a lot of the other areas, but I haven't heard of, this last option here that you were just mentioning with the gold royalties and everything. And what, like from an investor standpoint, like if I was, what's my exposure to that? Like say the mine lost money or whatever it may be. I mean, does that affect me or?
Not at all. If you're invested in a royalty vehicle, again, the exposure is entirely to the revenue line, not to the margins.
Okay.
So the margins can get squeezed. And in fact, that happened 10 years ago when gold last rallied through $1,900 an ounce 10 years ago, coming out of the credit crisis. We saw the mining industry, both on the base and precious side, start to invest meaningfully into new mine development. So we saw massive cost inflation. So even as gold and base metal prices were going up because of the Chinese super cycle,
right,
we actually saw margins contract because their costs were inflating well beyond what we saw in metal price appreciation. The royalty companies did exceedingly well during that cycle, even though the gold equities did poorly, because, again, their exposure is entirely to the top line. So as the gold price went up, they enjoyed the benefits of that. As production went up because of all the investment in new mines, their revenue went up. So they enjoyed the exploration upside, the gold price upside without the cost downside.
And so say someone's looking to, obviously with the volatility of the markets in general and things like that, and then there's gold and silver and these different precious metals. I mean, where kind of we should look to put, I mean, do we put most of we can in gold, or should we kind of try to diversify with gold and silver and in these different areas, or what's kind of the best scenario?
Well, I think typically the rule of thumb is in a volatile equity markets like we're likely to experience and the potential for a correction, you want no less than 10 to 20% of your portfolio in precious metals.
Okay.
To provide that life preserver in a volatile environment. And you can buy gold, you can buy silver, you can buy the ETFs, as I said, or you can buy the royalty companies and get that exposure. I would argue that silver has the potential to significantly outperform gold in a rallying environment, in a bull environment for gold, because typically the gold price, the silver price ratio is 40-1 in the bull market. Mm. Today it's closer to 80-1.
Oh, wow.
And so if you believe that gold is going to $3,000 an ounce, then we have the potential to see silver go appreciably through $100 an ounce. So in other words, four times the level it is now. So it has a potential to outperform. And in past bull cycles, that's in fact what happened. It's been a proxy for gold with a lot more leverage to gold price appreciation than owning the gold gold metal itself.
And then so if we're building out our, like, our portfolio to kind of start to hedge, you know, with the direction of the markets and inflation and everything that's happening, kind of what are those different ratios that we should be looking to invest, whether, you know, with gold, silver, platinum, you know, kind of what's that look like, I guess, an ideal situation?
Well, look, I think that what you want to have is a fairly well-diversified portfolio of gold assets. And again, you can buy the royalty companies. I think that's probably your prime target. Okay. Look for the most liquid names in the space. And there's a number of us that are quite liquid and provide, you know, we're Gold Royalty, trades under the symbol GROY on the New York Stock Exchange. It's a very liquid stock. We just IPO'd in March. We're well capitalized. So you want to look for the royalty companies that have a solid balance sheet, no debt, that have a diversified portfolio of royalties. We have 18 royalties within our portfolio, and we're adding more almost on a monthly basis as we deploying the capital we raised in our IPO back in March. So I would start with the royalty companies, start to build a portfolio from there. You can own some of the GLD and its silver equivalent on New York Stock Exchange to provide some physical, direct physical exposure. And then there's some gold equities out there that you can buy. Again, look for the liquid names. You can start with the large cap names like the Barricks and the Newmonts, both of which trade in New York as well. And then you can look down a tier and to the higher quality names that provide more leverage than the seniors would provide because of their significant reserve and resource bases.
And so with like gold and silver, and we're, you know, investing, like for gold, for example, what percentage or what, like, I guess, should we put the majority more in the royalty side, more in the EFT side? I mean, or the physical gold, should I just go out and, you know, through Ampex or, you know, some of those ones and buy the physical bars?
Yeah, look, I very much favor royalty companies, and not just because I'm running one today. The reason I position myself at this stage in my career, after 30 years of building and operating mines, I really started to position myself at that end of the spectrum in the royalty space because of the significant underinvestment we've seen in new mine development over the last 6 or 7 years. Reserves are down 40% in the gold industry right now. And so that means that the mining companies are going to increasingly have to invest back in the ground in exploration and development to replace their depleting asset bases. And royalty companies are an extremely important part of the ecosystem to help change that downward trajectory in reserves. In other words, we provide a source of capital, the royalty companies have, to the developers and operators when they need to start to reinvest back in their business. And the reason we've been a bank for them is because we're able to access capital much more cheaply in the equity markets than they can. Again, because of our leverage proposition, but also because we're much lower risk. We don't have that capital operating cost exposure. So in an inflationary environment, make no mistake, we are in an inflationary environment for costs in the mining industry.
Right.
You don't want to have that kind of exposure necessarily in the gold equities, other than the most high quality gold operating companies. And there are a very small handful of them. The royalty companies provide you a much stronger proposition, much better leverage to both the gold price and the exploration upside that the industry is going to start to realize. It starts to reinvest back into exploration.
I got you. And so through, like, if I'm investing in a royalty company, like, what is the typical, like, return, yearly return back on something like that? Like, what am I looking at as an investor in that side of it?
Yeah, we allocate capital expecting to get at a minimum double-digit rates of return on our capital. And that's on the reserves and resources that we're aware of at the time that we acquire these projects.
Okay.
Ultimately, a lot of these projects are geologically dynamic. In other words, the operators, as they mine them out, they start to drill them and add to the reserve base over time. So they start to do a lot of that, what they call brownfield exploration, leveraging the infrastructure they've already built by extending the mine lives. Mm. We don't pay for that upside. That's the leverage proposition to exploration success that I was talking about.
Okay.
And so that's why I think royalty companies are really the way to go when you're looking at entering into the space.
And then so obviously, like, if you're buying a bar of gold, you can go anywhere from a few hundred bucks all the way up to, you know, ounces and 10 ounces and 50 grams and all sorts of little bars and medium and big bars. When you're investing in the royalty side of things, like, what does that investment look like? Are you investing single dollars, hundreds of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars on that?
Really, I think it depends on the size of your portfolio. And as I said, you want to allocate, somewhere at least 10 to 20% of your portfolio to protect yourself against the volatility in general equity markets.
Okay.
And no investment is too small. Look, I think whether you're buying the physical or you're buying the royalty companies or the gold equities, I mean, you can find meaningful liquid investments in each of those classes within the gold industry. And so I don't think any investment is too small. It's really about preserving and protecting your capital. All of these are very liquid investments. Many of them trade on recognized stock exchange, like in our case, the NYSE under the symbol GROY, G-R-O-Y. We traded a little over about $5.50 per share right now. So you can make a fairly meaningful investment given where our price point is currently.
Gotcha. And then as you guys grow, so what happens, like, you're investing in the mines, and let's just say some of the mines don't find gold, that sort of thing. I mean, does that decrease, so, you know, I'm saying, would you say $5.50 a share, you know, I'm investing in right now, then does that cause a loss on your guys' overall portfolio? Then it decreases my value? I guess, how does that all work so people know?
Yeah, well, look, we have a variety of assets. The important thing is our portfolio is diversified, which is the beauty of owning royalty companies, is they're doing the diversification for you. They're diversifying the risk. We have assets at the exploration stage, development stage, and ultimately at the production stage as well. And so we will get cash flow from the producing assets while we're waiting for the development stage assets to increase in value. That's not to say when they're not generating cash flow, they're not increasing value or accruing value for our shareholders, because ultimately when they're going through development, they're getting de-risked. You know, they're getting built out, they're getting drilled out. So there's organic exploration growth, and the market tends to attribute value to those assets, even at the development stage, if they continue to grow geologically. And so there's a lot of intrinsic value in those assets, even if they're not currently producing cash flow. The other real significant and cool feature of our business is how scalable it is. You know, we have 18 royalties. I only have half a dozen employees. Mm. I could increase the size of my business tenfold. I wouldn't have to add any employees. My G&A is very, very small. And so really any additional royalties we add into our portfolio really go right to the bottom line because of our low cost structure. And so that really puts us in a position as we achieve a steady state in our cash flow to introduce dividends and returns of capital to our shareholders. And that's the beauty of the royalty business. It's really very much like a bank. It's very focused on the mining base and mining business. And when you look at our company in particular, I've populated our board and management with capable operating people. These are not financial engineers. We have over 250 years of collective experience on our board management on the operating side of the business. So that gives us uncommon access to royalty opportunities. We understand the mindset of operators and explorers because we've been in that role for again, collectively over 250 years. So we have a clear-eyed view of the underlying risk of the assets we're investing in and the opportunities inherent therein too.
And so you mentioned anywhere from 10 to 20%. So my overall investment portfolio should include some kind of gold or silver in those areas of up to about 20%, as well as then obviously my other investments and things like that. Is it all kind of gold that we're looking at, or should we kind of spread out, like you say, because silver could 4X, you know, based on with the inflation and everything that's happening with the rise of, you know, the gold side of it as well?
Well, quite often when you're buying a gold company or a gold royalty company, in our case, you're getting also exposure to silver within their portfolio.
Gotcha.
Because quite often gold deposits are in polymetallic settings. You know, you have multiple minerals in them. We have over 26 million ounces of gold in our underlying portfolio. We have 31 million ounces on a gold equivalent basis. That additional 5 million ounces comes out of silver and copper byproducts. So a lot of our deposits have more than one recoverable metal in them. So buying an equity like ours, Gold Royalty, you're getting that exposure to both gold and silver and copper for that matter. So if you're a copper bull, which I am, Because again, it's not only about quantitative easing we've experienced is driving copper to unprecedented levels, but also we're in an environment where decarbonizing the economy is becoming very important. And copper is a very important part of decarbonizing. For example, an electric vehicle uses three times the amount of copper that an internal combustion engine does. So it's important to electrification of our vehicle fleets globally. It's also important to electrifying our urban environments as more and more people in the developing world come out of rural settings into urban settings and are looking for appliances and electric access to electricity and telephones and the like. There's a lot of copper intensity in that urbanization.
Yeah, and you know, with the big push now with green energy cars and all these, you know, it's, you know, obviously then that demand for the copper side of things as well. And so that's interesting. Then you guys are able to, through the mines and, you know, acquiring the multiple different types of metals and things like that. So you're not just, okay, cool, this is all we're doing is gold. We have a variety that we're pulling in through the royalties and then obviously diversifying it out and selling it off as you need to.
Exactly. So as these mines are developed, we're recovering multiple metals in our plants. You know, it's not just a matter of recovering the gold and leaving everything else in the ground. Quite often, every ton of ore that we bring to surface and process has multiple metals, and we recover all the metals out of that ore, and our shareholders benefit from that.
Man, I hope you guys are really loving this episode of Making Bank. Tons of amazing information. And guys, if you're a small business entrepreneur, then this is for you. Obviously, you know, running a business is challenging. You have endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, everybody wants your attention, and obviously your bottom line, your profit. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of it, pushing through those challenges, and just really focusing on taking care of your employees and your customers. And I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They've helped over hundreds of thousands of businesses, even ours. Our business as well uses Gusto with tasks like automated payroll tax, filing simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, and cool onboarding tools. And you just name it, they got it. Gusto made it very easy. And they really care about the small business owners, the entrepreneurs like you that they work with. Their support team is attentive and very helpful. They help get us up and running smoothly and easily. And since money can be tight right now, you'll even get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Check out Gusto. Just go to gusto.com/makingbank and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy, guys. 90% of the customers that switch to Gusto say it was very easy, and 85% of the customers running payroll, it's now even easier than their previous company that they've worked with. So again, guys, I'm super excited. They're giving you 3 months free of payroll at gusto.com/makingbank.
So what's, we got a few minutes left. What are some kind of some tips or some things for a brand new investor, hasn't invested yet in precious metals? Kind of what is some different tips and strategies for them? Obviously, the royalty thing I know is a great thing, but to really start to build that side of their portfolio.
Well, I mean, I think what you want to do is look across the risk spectrum and look for quality and liquidity in everything you do. I mean, the easiest and lowest risk way to play the gold sector and the silver sector, for that matter, is to buy the physical, either lining up at a bank or buying the ETF that's physically backed by gold and silver. Or you can start to move across the risk spectrum and look at royalty companies that provide you that leverage of the gold price, but also exploration upside. There's a little bit more risk there, but I'd say, again, it's the best of all worlds in that it provides physical exposure and also provides you leverage to the gold price and leverage to exploration success. And then as you go down the risk spectrum, you want leverage to profitability, then you start to buy the gold equities. But you have to be acutely aware of the risk to operating costs and capital cost inflation and the risk that is that presents to eating away at margins even as the metal price goes up. So you want to make sure that you're investing in gold equities that are in stable jurisdictions with stable cost structures. And that's the challenge in owning the gold equities. But I would say the royalty space is providing you, I guess, the best of all all opportunities in my view.
Awesome. And what's something you're like, man, I was hoping Josh was going to ask me this. I really want to share it about gold and silver and the different equities and things. What's something you'd like, all right, I know the audience needs to hear this or understand this. I'm opening it up to you there.
Yeah, look, at the risk of repeating myself, we are in a hyperinflationary environment. That means that your savings are steadily being eroded every day, because if you're sitting in a bank account, I can guarantee you're earning effectively zero in terms of your interest on your bank accounts. I know that. And inflation means that on a real basis, your return's actually negative. And so your capital is steadily getting eaten away every day. And that's why it's so important to preserve your capital by investing in the one currency that can't be printed. And it's been the true real currency for 4,000 years, which is gold. We can't print it. We can't just produce it at a whim. It's very, very difficult. The lead times to production are very long. So if we discovered something tomorrow of significance, it would take 10, 15, 20 years to bring into development. So there isn't that response, supply side response to price that you'd expect in other commodities or in the manufacturing sector. We just can't, increase our production at will. And so when you're looking at preserving capital, this is the place you want to be. It can't be printed and it can't be produced in significant quantities. And that's really a definition of scarcity in my view.
No, that's definitely good. And I guess last thing is, how easy is it for the normal person that's watching, myself, to start to invest in, you know, obviously like EFTs and things like that. I know you can go and do right through the stock market and everything, but I guess into like gold royalties, is it?
Well, look, I would start with our website and get educated on the whole royalty model. I've tried to articulate that today, but if you go to goldroyalty.com, spend some time really understanding the model, understanding our portfolio, and that'll probably lead you into other names within the space. And then you can make it an informed decision about where you want to invest. But come to our website, goldroyalty.com, and please avail yourself of the educational materials we have on how the royalty space works and the royalty model works.
Awesome. Well, I know Kevin O'Leary on Shark Tank and the Canadian version of it. He's always about royalties, and so it's absolutely definitely a good thing. People check out what David's talking about on his website. Start to think, as you know, right now you may have some stock investments and some different 401ks and things like that. But if that's all you have, you got to start looking at other options with the way, I mean, we've already, like you said, already starting to see inflation increase the value of the dollars and the different monetary payments that utilize on a daily basis are starting to go down more and more every single day. And you got to have some way to start to protect your capital. Precious metals is a great way to do that. Myself, you know, I've been around it over the last couple of years, seeing that was the direction that we're going, starting to make sure that I have things in place for that as well. So this is a really cool option that I'm definitely going to check more information out on, because I hadn't heard of that as of up until now. And so I definitely check out David's website and reach out to him. I know he's probably happy to answer any kind of questions that if they're not on there, and help guide you guys to find what works best for you in this space. So David, really appreciate your time today, sharing your insights in this space. I think this is a huge thing, especially right now, that people really need to start to become more aware of and to have that opportunity to start to protect their assets and everything.
Well, it's my pleasure, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.